All right, guys, it's going to take, like I said, let's see, I need, initially here, I'm going to need 4 boom them out readers. Jeff, you're a funny guy. Mr. Simpson, I'll take you. You're going to be, why don't you hit Matthew 28, you're going to get Matthew 28, 1 through 10 in a second. Mikkel, Mark 16, 1 through 11. Caleb Goel, Luke 24, 1 through 12. And Mr. Hahn, John 20. John 20, 1 through... Oh, are you still sick?
Yeah.
You're getting off the hook tonight. Uncle Dave, John 20, 1 through 18. It's a long section, so if you're sick, I'm not going to do that to you. Okay, guys, so a couple things. Going into this, I think it's really important. The best way to set the tone for this, one time Dave Barnett actually told me, he had accompanied Carolyn, I think he had accompanied you, your family, anyways, on a kind of a what the world calls Easter. This is a number of years back. And I don't know what if it was a congregational church or a United Church of Christ or something, but the woman was speaking. Dave, wherever Dave went, he told me it was a woman who was speaking, and she talked about the differences in the gospel accounts about Jesus' resurrection. And Dave, I just remember Dave telling me, like, everybody that left there left thinking, like, this doesn't add up. This doesn't make sense. Okay. So when you consider, guys, what are the proof, what is the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? I think there's really 3 things that factor in here. Eyewitnesses is one of them. The empty tomb, the eyewitnesses would be the ones who talk about that, right? Yep. And I think you're saying they couldn't find a body. So that would be a supplemental thing. But eyewitnesses is one. What's another one? Prophecy. That's a huge one, right? The eyewitnesses without the prophecy. But when the prophecy's there, then the eyewitnesses, and then what else? Because aren't guys... Don't you hear sometimes stories from people? And they sound convincing, but at the same time, you know, like, I just don't think I'm buying this.
Well, even in Mark,
yeah, they did. They didn't believe each other when they first told them, right? So, we got prophecies, eyewitnesses. And the miracles not only leading up to it, but following. The fact that the eyewitnesses could perform miracles later gave credibility to this message that was being proclaimed, right? So those 3 things together God did to make sure this thing was tight. But the eyewitness, you know, if you can, when somebody's in court, and if you can discredit an eyewitness, that's... You're creating doubts in the people that are sitting in the jury over there. Okay? Now, we know in this case God's the judge and the jury, but in terms of public opinion. So, what I'm saying is there are all sorts of outfits out there claiming to be Christian in a very broad sense that don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, and they actually don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And when they teach people, they actually teach them that this isn't true. Now, there's some confusion here, okay? And we got to sort through it. And that's my goal tonight, is for us to sort through this from the Scripture. Maybe one other thing. Why do you think there might be some confusion as we look through these things? Why is there room for confusion here? You have 4 different accounts. Okay? Which in God's wisdom, he said, but it is. These guys are telling you. Okay? What else?
You have a guy that's supposed to be dead, but he's not dead.
Uh-huh. I mean, do you think there's a little bit when the things are going on, as they're going on, you think about somebody dies, the grief and all those things that are involved in that. Now you're hearing stories that he's from the, like, do you think there's a little bit of chaos even among the people who are followers who are trying to figure this out?
Well, because they have people that are trying to corrupt stuff anyway, so who's to say somebody didn't just come take them and move them?
Right. Exactly. So I like the one thing I really love about the Bible, guys, it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It tells you all the faults of the people. I got to pick on Carolyn for a second. When she first was reading through Genesis and about Abraham and on our Bible study, she was like, he was kind of, I don't remember what she said. She didn't say bum, but it was like he was kind of a, like there were some things Abraham did. He was kind of a jerk on some things. Like pretending about his wife, you know, that she was his sister or just some. But one of the cool things about the Bible is it doesn't pretend like people are different than what they are. It tells you straight up. Okay? And then God's plan of redemption, you can see even through the people that he chooses. So anyways, we better get into this because we got a lot to do. So Mr. Simpson, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. You guys can follow along. It would probably be helpful if you follow along. So Mr. Simpson, if you read Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Mark chapter 16. I don't remember who I picked here. Mikkel, one. So if you guys are, it's a little tough if you don't have these right next to each other. But no, what are some things while we're going through this? Do you notice any things that do seem different? Okay, as we go through these, Mikkel, Mark 16, 1 through 11. And then Luke 24, 1 through 12. Thank you, Caleb.
But on the first day that we did get early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the man said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11
Okay, and then John 20, 1 through 18.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloths which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
Okay, anybody notice something kind of big, different here? Seems to be different. There's one thing that kind of seems like it would jump. I mean, when you start going through it, there's a lot of little things. Does anybody notice something kind of big? Seeming difference? Well, so Matthew's account does talk about angels, but you're right, there's no encountering of Jesus, at least not at this point in Matthew, if we read a little further. But there...
The other women...
So, it... The best way I can, for the sake of time, I'll just kind of cut to this. Guys, Mary Magdalene seems clearly to have a different encounter than the rest of the women. Because if you think about it, there's lots of ways your mind could try to say, okay, and I've thought about this, different ways this could have happened. But Mary, very clearly, when she goes and tells Peter and John, she does not know. She's not saying, the angels told me he's risen. She just knows, we don't know where they've laid him. Okay. The other women, Matthew's, Mark's, and Luke's account, when they encounter this, the angels right away, they encounter these angels and they tell them, hey, he's not here, he's risen, go back and report. Do you see, there seems to be a difference between Mary Magdalene and the rest of them. Is that, you guys tracking with me there? So, when you think about it, okay, we spent some time working our way through this, but... Here's guys, and I put this on the sheet. So the first nine steps of this here, kind of through the verses we read. So a few things we know. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James. I'm combining this, by the way. So I guess there's one other thing I want you to consider. Oftentimes when you're given a report, sometimes I'm just going to give a summary. Okay, my wife asked me something and I don't want to go through every single I can't even remember every single detail, tell you the truth. Okay? And sometimes I think it frustrates her that I can't remember it, but my brain, I don't know all the details. I just don't. But I can tell you the gist of what happened. This is what it was. Okay? So some of these, they do have the Holy Spirit helping, but that's what they're given is the summary, the gist. Others of them, there's certain things that they are highlighting. This has the focus. Okay, so, but we do know, we're coming into this saying the Scripture's true. It's accurate. None of these guys are lying. And so, how do they work? How do they fit together? And so, here's the conclusions that I've come to, and if I don't know, Mr. Simpson was out of town, I was hoping to get him in on this when we had our meeting, but so Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, and this would also, I think, include Joanna and others from Luke's account. They go to get spices, and then they're going to go look at the grave. Okay? They have to wait till the Sabbath is over to get the spices. So things open up, we could say, what, Saturday at sundown? Okay, they go to get spices. Okay, we got to go take care of it. Now, in the meantime, we know that the guards see Jesus for, well, they see that the angel, okay, an angel of the Lord, the guards see the angel of the Lord. As a little side note, guys, when these guys get here and the stone's rolled away, I just want to make this point, the stone didn't have to be rolled away for Jesus to come out. The stone was rolled away so that people could see in, that the tomb was empty. Okay? That didn't have to happen. Jesus, we see later, he's in and out of places. Like, this is... Okay, so, but the guards see that. Then here's what I think happened. Mary Magdalene goes on ahead and sees the empty tomb before the other women. So I can see this. Hey, we're all going to get spices. Guys, we're going to go together. We're going to regroup up. Mary Magdalene is... She can't contain herself. She gets down there. Okay? They're just, hey, I want to go check. She gets down there, and when she gets there, she sees that the tomb is empty. The stone's rolled away, the tomb's empty, and she's like, I got to go tell Peter and John about this. Okay? And so she takes off to tell Peter and John. I thought of one other possibility, and that could be that they all came together, and then Mary Magdalene got so excited just seeing it, she never went, like she already went off to tell Peter and John. But I think when you look at John's account, it says, well, and John's could be just highlighting that. Okay? But it does say while it was still dark. And the other three accounts all say when the sun had risen or early, you know, as it be, you know, let's see, at early dawn. So it looks to me, guys, like Mary got there earlier than the rest of them. Okay? Are you guys tracking with me? So, then Mary Magdalene takes off to tell Peter and John. In the meantime, I don't even have this in here. In the meantime, the other women show up. Hey, I don't think I have this in my notes. But in the meantime, the other women show up. They're checking this out. They have the encounter with the angels. I don't know how I left this out of here. But that should be between... Oh no, I have that in verse in step 6. Sorry. Okay, so Mary Magdalene. I'm going to follow my notes. Mary Magdalene tells off to tell Peter and John. Peter and John run to the tomb. Mary Magdalene follows. So if you look at this, John runs faster than Peter. He comes to the tomb first. He sees a lying wrappings lying there, but he doesn't go in. Peter goes in. Right? He held the linen wrappings lying there, the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings. We're not going to deal with that tonight, but rolled up into place by itself. So, verse 8 of John 20, I do want to look at this for a second. The other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered then also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They don't, what do they believe? They believe Mary's report. They don't understand the resurrection yet. They believe that Mary wasn't pulling one over on them. the tomb's empty. Okay? So, Peter and John return home. Do I have the other women coming? So I don't know if I ever showed very well. The other women came, and number step three. I don't think I mentioned this, guys. The other women came when the sun had risen. So I need to. I'm sorry about this. Let me back this up. Mary Magdalene goes. She sees. She leaves. The other women come, show up, have the encounter with the angels. Okay? They take off. Mary, Peter, and John come back. Peter and John leave. Now Mary is out there weeping. She's trying to, you know, what's going on. She sees the angels, and then she gets to, Jesus appears to her first. Okay? Mary Magdalene is the first person that sees Jesus after he's been raised from the dead. A couple of accounts are clear about that. Everybody with me? I should have grabbed a board and written this. You guys with me? Okay. So where are we at here? Okay, then Jesus appears to the other women, Matthew 28, 9 and 10. So after Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, the other women are going to make the report, and somehow, Jesus, after his encounter with Mary, he shows up and meets the other women and confirms what the angel had said. So by the time they get back and give the report, they not only have heard it from the angels, but Jesus also appeared to them. How are you guys doing? Brain's fuzzy? Most people aren't looking up at me, so I'm having a hard time reading you guys. How you doing, Mikkel?
Great.
Are you? Alright. So I think this is the trickiest part of this. There's a couple other little tricky spots. But you can sort through it yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. I've wrestled around with this. This is a thing that is logical, it makes sense, and there's no contradictions in this. It fits together. There might be another possibility or two, but I usually found something that I could poke a hole in one of my other ideas. Okay? So you guys can, you're welcome to sort through this more on your own through the week. All right, we can shift gears here then. If everybody's, any questions on this first part? I think this is happening fairly quickly, Mikkel, in the morning. And I don't know where, you know, from last week, we know the tomb was near, there was a garden there, near Golgotha, and their tomb was, and so it was a convenient place. But we don't know when people are coming and going from the tomb, if they're going the same direction, you know, we don't know the entrances in and out, you know, they're going the same way, etc. But I think it's happening pretty quickly. I would say within a few hours. Okay.
And with the four accounts, there is one common denominator. That he rose.
Definitely.
Isn't that what's important?
It is. Definitely, Dave. The important thing is every single one of these witnesses, not only, and I'm glad you brought that up, because not only do they end up saying that they saw Jesus, as we go through this, every one of them is going to say they saw Jesus raised from the dead, but actually every one of the apostles, except for John, ends up dying for that witness. Okay? And I don't know, in my group I hit this recently, but I'm going to hit it again. The witnesses, flip to Acts chapter 10, we're just real quick here. Acts 10, verses 40 and 41. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And I used to wonder, how come he didn't just show up and appear to everybody? Wouldn't that have been the easiest thing? Nobody can even question it. But here's the problem. When anybody sees him, now they all got their own story. And they're not going to be credible. Like some of these people are not trustworthy people. And so you get all sorts of stories going around about, well, I saw him, and the ones that Jesus chose, he chose because they are credible witnesses. And every one of these people ended up paying for their life, basically, for that testimony. Jared Schaefer, one of his messages recently on a Sunday night, made me think of a quote I'd read. Chuck Colson was involved in the Watergate scandal, and he ended up being in prison and supposedly came to Christ in prison. But one of the things he said, I'm absolutely convinced 100% of the resurrection. He said, you know why? Because these people who are witnesses, 12 people, and he's including Matthias in that, said they saw him, and for years they were persecuted him and they never changed their story. He said, with Watergate, he said 12 of the most influential people in the world, and he said, they were all cracking within 3 weeks. He says, I believe the resurrection. And it's a good point. And it's a nice example to show. Like, these guys saw something that changed their life. And they never backed down from it. So that is the important point. Okay? But with this, I also like to kind of sort through. Now, how did that work? How did that work? Okay? But thank you for bringing that up. All right. So I'm going to take the same four readers again. Mr. Simpson, Matthew 28:11-15. Mikkel, Mark 16:12-13. You know what? The Luke's account. Who did I have on Luke's account? Caleb. I'm not going to read all this, the road to Emmaus. We just don't have time. So I'm going to let you guys read the whole road to Emmaus stuff on your own. So Luke, or Caleb, I'm going to have you, Luke. I'm going to have you read just verses 32-35. Okay? And when you get there, I want to give a little preview before you, okay? And then Uncle Dave, 1 Corinthians 15:5a is what I want from you. Okay, so Mr. Simpson, Matthew 28:11-15.
And while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and counted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say his disciples came by night to stole him away while we were asleep. And if they should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. They took the money and did as they had been instructed. The story was widely spread among the Jews, and
it
is to this day.
And so the guards end up saying, they came and stole him away while we were asleep. Now, under normal conditions, these guards would be in big trouble for that and be paid for that with their life. But since it's a concocted story, we're going to pay you money to go spread the story, okay? So, we'll just leave that there. All right, Mark's account. Mark 16:12-13. Okay, so this is the road to Emmaus. Luke gives a full accounting of that, and it's really a great read. So if you haven't read it recently, you should read Luke's account. But we don't have time to go through all of that. So Caleb Gohl, I'm going to have you follow up on that. After Jesus appeared to him, and he vanished from their sight, then verse 32-35 of Luke 24. Okay, and then Uncle Dave, would you get 1 Corinthians?
And that he appeared to Cephas.
Okay. So, the reason I haven't bringing that up here is going to correspond with Luke's account. Somewhere Jesus made an appearance to Simon. Okay, now, a couple interesting things. The guard make the report? Nothing complicated about that, right? We got that part out of the way? Okay, Jesus appears to the men on the road to Emmaus. We read Mark's account. You can go back and read Luke's account. Straightforward there. Okay? They didn't recognize him at first. Went through some things, explained the scriptures to him and all that. And then when he broke bread with them, they recognized him. Okay, now, for Luke 24, 33 through 35, read this with me, and I want some input from you guys. What's your first thought on this read? Luke 24, 33 through 35. They arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he's recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. So my first question to you is, who's saying the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon? Who's saying that? So Mr. Simpson thinks it's the 11. Who thinks it's the guys on the road? Jeremiah thinks it's the guys on the road. Mikhail thinks it's the guys. On your first read-through, that's what it sounds like to you. Okay. When we were discussing this amongst ourselves, I thought the same thing, Kevin. My mind has always said, it's the 11 who are saying this. They come in, they find these guys talking, and they're saying, "The Lord's really risen and has appeared to Simon." But some of the guys, they're reading this, and they're saying it's the guys on the road, because the "they," you can't tell. See? When you go and look in the Greek, and if anybody has a Rotherham's handy, nope, Ricky shakes her head, no. Okay, but if you, it's the 11. Those are it's that group that's saying it. In the original language, it is a little tough to sort through. Actually, sometimes I'll go to Rotherham's to try to sort it out. You can go to the Greek if you really want to dig into it. Or sometimes I will take one of these dummy versions, like the NIV, because sometimes they do dummy it for you, and you can figure it out easily, too. And if you read the NIV, I think it also, it's pretty apparent it's the 11. Okay, but you can check it out. But so this is the only tricky thing. We have no idea where Jesus makes his appearance to Simon. But somewhere between meeting the guys on the road to Emmaus, and he vanishes from their sight, and by the time these guys get back to report, Jesus has made a special appearance to Simon somewhere. 1 Corinthians 15 deals with that, and so does Luke 24. No problems there, right? Now, the only catch, as we sort through the rest of this, is going to be is try to figure out the 11. Okay, because it's not going to quite. You guys remember what happened to Judas? He's gone, right? That's one less. So that leaves us with 11. But if you read these other accounts, when we're going to go forward, we're going to see Thomas wasn't there at this first appearance of Jesus, where we're going to go forward from here. But Luke says these guys showed up to the 11 that were gathered together. So there's two possibilities that I've thought of, okay, on this. And maybe this will make more sense when we read the next sections, but you're going to notice the numbers don't quite seem to match up perfectly, unless a couple possibilities. One possibility is that Mark, Luke, and John all retroactively consider Matthias to be an apostle. Because I'm convinced Matthias was here. One of the requirements for him to become an apostle was he had to be a witness of the. So he would have been the others. He would have been among the others gathered. And so they could retroactively call that. Matthew, we know specifically, doesn't, because of Matthew 28:16. I can find Matthew 28:16 really quick. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Okay. So, if Matthias is being included in that, he would be 12. Okay. So Matthew, we know, isn't included. So that's a possibility. Okay. But, here, Here's another possibility, and this is what I think. Mark and Luke just give a summary statement about Jesus' appearance to all the apostles and call them the 11. They just lump them all together. Okay? Lumping in Jesus' appearance to the 10 and then to the 11. He's just giving you one summary account. He showed up to all of these guys. Because they don't key in on Thomas. So, but the one catch for me on that is that Luke says the men on the road found gathered together the 11. And the next we're going to find out is Jesus appears to these guys, but the other accounts say Thomas wasn't there. So the other possibility I think, and this is what I lean towards, is that when the guys show up, the men on the road start talking about this, and they're swapping, you know, well, this is what people are saying. Lord's really risen, has appeared to Simon, and Thomas is like, what in the world's going on? And he heads off to go grab a cherry Coke or something. You know, he's going to come back. And while he's gone, Jesus shows up in the midst of this. Okay. Do you have something, Mr. Simpson? Okay. So let's read the next part, and I think you guys will know what I'm talking about. Mark 16:4. Frank, would you get Mark 16:4? 16:14. Thank you. Kevin, if you get Luke 24:36-43. And Mikkel, if you'd get John 20:19-25. So Mark 16:14. Frank, you want to get that?
Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen.
Okay. Luke 24:36-43.
While they were telling these things, he himself stood in the midst. They were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing the Spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, but it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it, for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them.
Okay. And then John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also..." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not."
Okay, so John calls Thomas one of the 12, which I just think that's a... I think in New American Standard even... Oh, no, it's not. But I think that's just... He was one of the original 12 that Jesus picked. But we know Thomas wasn't there, okay, from John's account. Okay? So Luke... I think what Luke's referring to is Jesus' first appearance. Because Thomas isn't the only one who needed to see his hands and his... The rest of them got to see it the first time. She said, "Come here, look, like, check it out." And then they tell Thomas, and Thomas, "Well, unless I see." That's where that comes from. Okay? In case your mind hadn't put that together before. But I think Mark is a summary. After he appeared to the 11 themselves, he reclined at the table, reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Every one of them got in trouble by Jesus for, "Why didn't you believe?" And they should have, because, "Weren't you listening to me? I told you this was going to happen." But I think Mark's is a summary. I think when the guys on the road from Emmaus show back up, I think Thomas is there. Because he says he showed to the 11. And like I said, I think Thomas, my story is, went to get the cherry coke or whatever. Okay, when Jesus shows up in there, Thomas isn't there. And now he's got to wait this whole week for that to happen. Yes, Levi. We'll cover that in depth later. Not dealing with that tonight. I'm just giving the overview tonight of the events. We're going to work through John. Okay? So that'll be a while down the road. It's a good question, but cannot tackle that one tonight. Okay? Everybody tracking with me? All right. So that leads us up to John chapter 20, verses 26 through 31. And Frank, you want to hit those? John 20, 26 to 31. And then Uncle Dave, I'll have you finish reading 1 Corinthians 15, 5 with me after he's done. Okay? Go for it, Frank.
After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, stood in their midst and saying, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe."
Yeah, please.
Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have also been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
I will give Thomas props for this, guys. Once he saw this, "My Lord and my God." Like, he's got it. This is a cool thing, too, because a lot of people don't want to say Jesus is God. But anybody else who ever, like, you try to fall down and worship an angel, what do they always say? Stand up, I too. Jesus accepts this worship. And Thomas flat out calls him my Lord and my God. Okay? Yep. Yeah, it's a good one. Yep, and I'm sure we're going to get to hit that one in depth too later. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, 5, the second half of that.
Then to the 12.
Okay, so he appeared to Cephas, right? Then to the 12. Okay, so here's the 12. And it makes sense to me that Paul would definitely retroactively say, call Matthias the 12, because he's an apostle by the time Paul writes that to 1 Corinthians. Or to the, you know what I'm saying, by the time he writes to the Corinthians. Okay? All right. Guys, we don't have time to go through the rest of it. I don't think the rest of this is too tricky. Jesus appears to seven while they're fishing. You can check that out, John 21, 1 through 25. Jesus appears to the 11 in Galilee. So remember, he had told them, for some reason, this was emphasized. You guys go to Galilee, you guys get ready, because that's where we're going to have the big showdown. And I personally agree with this guy. He thinks that's where the 500 are at. Okay, the 500 at one time. These guys have all heard about it. The story's been going. Galilee is where is where everybody's going to get a chance to see him. Okay, that are his followers. So the Great Commission, for example, that's not just to the apostles. Okay, it's given to those guys there. And then you follow through the rest of it. 1 Corinthians 15, 7, Jesus appears to James. And then if you read Luke 24, the end of it, in Acts chapter 1, we know that Jesus appears to the apostles in Jerusalem. Before he ascends. And then you get his ascension following that. I don't even know if you guys knew enough before we started tonight to be confused. You do now. So you might have to sort back through this yourself. But it is worth thinking through. So you can say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. This is the way that this could have worked, and it would make sense. So I just want to, you know, if you have questions, sort through it. If you have more questions after that, you're welcome to see me. I feel like the very beginning of this, I got off a little bit on the wrong foot, but I hope you got it. All right. Jeremiah, would you pray for us in closing, please?